Richard's in the waiting room. I don't want to let him in because
let's not make him wait a bit.
I feel like I should. I need to.
I love that you're in control of letting Richard in the waiting room. It's good. That's a good.
It's so great. It's so great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, look who it is. It's Richard Spade Jr.
I can't believe it. I was actually in the waiting room for a minute there, Robbie. You were kind of slow on the uptick.
I made you wait.
Teeny weeny beanie, I see. Nice job.
People who show up at 10 get let in right away. So
we did want to punish you just a little bit, Rich.
I'm not sure that you're going to have to do a little better than that, Hank. I'm not sure that's a punishment. They may be a win. I'll let you guys warm up. But I want to note, I want to comment on something right out of the gate because I know Robbie's recording. First time we've had Hank on a lot. I've even seen that space. First time we've had Paul on with Paul wearing pants.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the kings of con.
Well, we know he's wearing pants.
We don't know he's wearing pants, but I'm wearing.
You know what? I stand corrected. I just leapt to a conclusion that I filled in the gaps. But clearly, when I don't see you from the bottom half, my brain puts pants on you.
It's an emotional
defense mechanism.
We started in the tub. I don't know where you go from that. So I thought I'd show you that I can show up and be this guy as well. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's, you know, and sober, I was saying, Richard, before you.
Well, you don't know that either. But yes, I understand that.
Right.
True.
assumption.
I'd say no. But certainly you're presentable. Yeah. We can present you to the rest of the world.
I gotta say, I kind of miss the days of, you know, back when Rob and I started doing the podcast, it was assumed that cocktails were happening. Well, it was also during COVID, but there was a sort of a COVID cocktail assumption.
And now it's not assumed. It's just done.
It's never done though. When was the last time you and I had cocktails while doing a podcast?
Let's just tell everybody what time of the day it is. It's 10 a.m.
It's 10 in the morning.
I don't start drinking until 10:45.
Exactly.
Right.
Our guest today, for the first time together on the same podcast, we've got friends of the podcast, Paul Fitzgerald and Hank Chilton. Hank, of course, has been a friend, an antagonist. He's one of the
friend-tagonist, we call him.
Yeah, friend-tagonist. Very popular recurring character. There's been lots of.
I haven't been on in like 3 years. Okay, so
is Hank the one?
Maybe I should be more antagonistic.
Is he the angry neighbor? Is that who he plays?
Yeah, he's
show?
The angry. Yeah, he's the angry. Neighbor.
I guess, kind of angry neighbor.
That's not how it works here. You can't just make up names for me.
What's your name?
But that is
angry his neighbor.
I will say this, Paul. You'll appreciate this. So we had a little shindig at the house. A couple months ago, and my nephew just moved to Los Angeles, and he was walking around, you know, meeting everybody. And I go, and he met Rob before, but he doesn't know any of our neighbors, and he's meeting everybody. And I go, and that's Hank. And apropos of nothing, it wasn't like I was introducing him to like a cast of characters. I was like, there's our neighbor, and this. And for every person we've talked to who's been a guest on the podcast, he immediately knew, and he's like, I'm like, well, there's Hank. He's like, Hank from the podcast, Hank? I'm like, well, yeah. He's like, stole the iron poop dog, Hank? I'm like, yeah, that's the one. Like, he knows the greatest hits from Hank and his podcast fame.
Great character, Hank.
Yeah. I signed a lot of autographs that night. I did.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. I don't know. Have you been by the house recently, Hank? Have you noticed what's going on with the iron poop dog?
No, what happened? I haven't noticed.
Jeez, dude, tell.
Somebody turned it sideways.
What?
Somebody turned it sideways. So the no poop used to face the street, much to your chagrin. And now, so Paul, we have my wife put a little iron poop dog in the ground in our yard that says no poop.
If we're gonna relitigate this, let's start at the beginning.
Goodness.
All right.
Okay.
It doesn't say
let
no
the litigation
peep.
Begin.
Doesn't say no peep or no poop. It says no. With an exclamation point.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Very aggressive.
Iron dog pooping.
We're pretty sure it originated in Nazi Germany in the late 30s.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I think there might be some more Nazi memorabilia in Rich's basement. I don't know.
Right. Wow. That's a harsh criticism.
Strong words for 10:05 a.m.
It's good. We're not really even into it yet.
I think the internet agrees
well,
with you.
Well, so... I mean, I can tell by the hearts lighting up by our live stream here. So Yes, that's right. That's what it says. And my wife, whose nickname, by the way, Paul, is the Machete. She's no shrinking violet. You've actually met her.
Yes.
We all had dinner in New York years ago.
Yes.
He remembers. He remembers.
And so then at some point, Hank absconded. Two things happened.
That's never been proven.
Hank, tell me the order.
Has never been proven.
When did the photo... When did the photo happen? Because that's kind of magic.
The photo, I took a picture of me with my pants down saying yes to the no. And I sent it to them.
Say yes.
But
hold on, you're leaping over details. I know you sent it to me, but I also know from your wife, Pam, that you got busted in the middle of that photo
shoot. We did get busted. Yeah. Someone drove by and wondered if I was okay.
Which, of course, the answer is no.
Yeah. A family man drove by with children in the car, baby on board, warning signs.
I think you're elaborating beyond your knowledge at this point.
Well, we can only assume that there was children in the car.
To defend Hank, you know, we talk a lot about with kids, we'd say, don't yuck my yum. Mm-hmm. You know, you yummed his yuck. Is what you did.
I think
you turned into a yes. You know, yes, yes, poo.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
you yummed Rich's yuck.
I'm a positive guy. That's a negative sign.
You're positive. You didn't like the Iron Poop Dog. Yeah.
Also joining the podcast today is Paul Fitzgerald. Fans of the podcast will remember Paul as the friend of mine. You know, that showed up to the podcast naked in a tub.
To be fair, those things normally go
with a martini.
They will want what night follows day if you're going to be in the tub.
True.
Normally naked.
True. Right. Like truly taking a bath.
True.
Drinking wine and eating weed gummies.
Martini.
A martini.
You had the martini and you had the weed gummies too.
Don't give this guy wine when he wants a cocktail. I've learned that myself recently.
Hank made that mistake the other night after.
I was shunned. For bringing him restaurant that only had beer and wine.
Oh, that was...
Uh-oh.
I was there. I had already peeled off.
Where'd you guys go?
No, this is the night before.
Different
Bobby.
Night? Okay. Oh, right.
Yes.
Right. To that oyster.
We're there in spirit.
The oyster joint. Let's give them a plug. What's the name of the place?
L&E?
No, Found Oyster.
Where's that?
Found Oyster's on Fountain right across from Saffy's. Have you been to Saffy's? You know, over by Square One. You're a local. You
know Square One.
These places.
I know Square One. I don't know.
Paul got off of work at what time? 8:30. And I'm like, let's meet up. I hadn't eaten. I thought I found a place nicely located about halfway between where he was and where I was.
I said, let's meet for a cocktail, a nightcap after.
Right.
And I said, have you eaten yet? Yeah. And I picked the place.
I said, I'm not going to eat, but let's go have a cocktail.
But you said, I'll sit with you while you do eat.
Right.
All right. Uh-huh. Now, who's the antagonist here, by the way?
Okay.
I don't know what corner he's in on your screen, but on my screen, he's in that corner. Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
You're pointing to yourself in my screen.
you're pointing to my GarageBand program, but yeah, I get it. I get the point.
But I didn't know they didn't have a full liquor license, and
it wasn't a full. They didn't have any liquor license. It was basically It was grape juice. It was some kind of bad grape juice.
No, that's not true at all. Stop that. They had a beer and wine. He didn't. He was a little bit of a wine snob, and he was a no martini snob. So then we left after I had a fish sandwich and we had a couple glasses of wine to go across the street, but he didn't want to stand in that bar and he said, let's go home. And I'm like, okay, I'll go home. Cause I knew we were all hanging out next night. And then the next night he tells me that he went and got a cocktail by himself. So.
Wow. That took a right turn. Where'd you get a cocktail by yourself?
Up at
Little Dogs. Which would have been a great place to go. My bad.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I think they allow Hanks in there, right? I mean, you could take a Hank in there.
I didn't want to take my chances at that point, Rich. I just needed to get a cocktail in me. You know what I mean? I couldn't take my chances. Yeah.
Well, so that's cool. I
know that you guys all went to college together and known each other forever. So you know each other way better than I know you guys. But I will say that finding out that Paul is a wine snob will be the least surprising thing that comes out of this podcast.
It literally
makes total sense.
They only had one wine by the glass. And now we plugged the place.
No, we had one red by the glass.
They had one red by the glass. And it wasn't the best one I've ever had. And I didn't want wine. But anyways, aside from that, it was a great evening with Mike. Okay. It was good to see you.
Yeah, sounds like a home run.
Paul, we going out tonight? Paul, you guys want to go out tonight? You can pick the place.
Wait, why am I not invited?
I will always meet you guys for a cocktail.
The fuck?
We'd love to have you, Robbie. Tight list, though. But anyway, you two, Paul and Hank.
You're not allowed to go out, are you?
I'm trying to feel where I can mute Rich.
Hashtag new daddy.
New daddy.
Hashtag baby.
By the way, I'm pretty sure Paul's either booked or doesn't want to hang out with me. So, you know, whatever.
Not true. I'm working in the morning. Otherwise, I would go out tonight and every.
What are you in town doing?
Finishing a show called The Residence for Netflix over there at Raleigh Studios that we had a little strike interruptus for. We did four episodes about this time last year and then had to stop for strike, and now we're back finishing up the back order, the back four of the order, and
can we say who you're playing in it, or is it all a secret?
President of the United States.
He's the President of the United States of America, Richard.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The South has generated more presidents of the United States than any other region of America.
True.
So yeah. It makes sense that they would cast you in that role.
Yeah, and soon my home down Lynchburg, Virginia, will too be the home of a former president of the United States. People come visit. The first gay president of the United States, GUPOTUS, as I'm calling myself, and joining the ranks of POTUSes, but with a G. And my husband is the Fugotus, the first gentleman of the United States, just to get you guys familiar with these terms in the event it ever happens. In life, you know what I mean?
Now, is any
and
of that
who
in
plays
the
your
script?
Husband?
The lovely and talented Barrett Foa.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Barrett Foa.
Fantastic,
nice,
man. What is the show about?
It's sort of a Knives Out kind of comedy murder mystery. It takes place at the White House the night of a state dinner. There's a body shows up dead, and it's a whole sort of whodunit over the course of eight episodes. Was not me.
It's a great
spoiler alert, but yeah.
It's a great script.
It was nominated for an award?
No, I said it's not me. I didn't die. I don't die.
Oh, not me. Not me. Sorry, I missed that part.
But is
that's
he the
awesome.
Killer?
And you've been working on it.
Is he the killer?
Suspect. I'm not
that you'll have
I don't
want to
know. Don't tell me.
Out
no spoilers.
Well, cacophony.
No spoilers.
It's a really great project. A great script. And
great cast of folks.
And you've been shooting in LA the whole time? Like before the strike, you were here working on it?
I was. This time last year, we were like March and April last year, and then, or I guess May as well. And then, and then we paused. And now we just got back in January finishing everyone. If you know, for the close viewer, the different, you know, if you look between episodes 4 and 5, you'll notice everyone looks about a year older.
Right. Rob, is this something that you auditioned for?
Yes.
Yeah, Rob, you give this a read?
I did. Hank, you know this, and so you're just trying
Hank
to like.
Put the knife
I wanted to make sure you have your day in court. That's all.
That's it. That's all to say that I auditioned for it. I liked it, and they went a different way. They went a different way.
Did you read for Paul's role?
Well,
no, I did not. I did not. No.
Has the friends of the podcast ever heard about the original? Was it Splitsville story?
I don't know if we've told that story. Our friends Mark and Abby wrote a pilot back in 2005, I want to say.
Maybe even earlier.
Three?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It was Come to Pop. It's Come to Pop. Because I wound up doing a different show, Come to Papa. Wait, didn't that... you shot the pilot for that, right,
yeah.
Paul? And then it didn't get picked
right.
up. And then I ended up doing Come to Papa. That was that. And Calvin was born in 2004. I was shooting Come to Papa, a show that got picked up and ran for four episodes
on
NBC.
That's a dig on
anyway,
Splitsville right there.
No, it's not. It's a dig on Come to Papa because four episodes
Splitsville
does not
only
make
got
a splash.
The pilot.
Yeah,
well, but wait, what's the backstory of Splitsville? I'm getting a lot of pieces here. But
okay, our friends Mark Silverstein and Abby Cohen, fantastic writers, wrote, they were engaged to be married. I was going to be in their wedding. We were all very good friends with them.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
A month before the wedding, this is the early 2000s, they broke up. But they remained writing partners and friends. And so the Splitsville pilot is about a couple engaged to be married that break up at the beginning and what it does to their friends. They decide to stay friends, but it's like what it does to their extended group of friends. So
right.
In the cast of characters, it's Mark, Abby, Paul, Rob, and Rob's wife, Molly. I mean, these are all characters in the pilot.
Oh, my gosh.
So Paul and I go out for Paul auditions for the role of Paul. I auditioned for the role of Rob. What network was it, Paul? Fox? Yeah.
But that's a gimme, man. That's like a layup.
Yeah. So I tested for Rob.
Yeah, you did. Got a fucking nice contract under your belt.
Paul tested for Paul. And just so everybody knows, testing means you go in front of the studio and everything else.
But it's a walk away. I mean, they're basically saying, gift basket. You want to open it or not? Do you like muffins? I mean, I know how this goes, right? Or so I've heard.
You know how the story goes, that's for fucking sure. So then it goes to network after studio. Network says, yeah, he's our guy. That's, you know, you get the role and the rest is history. Well,
it's a fucking high five gauntlet down to the smokehouse for drinks.
I'm the first to go in. I think I auditioned a few days before Paul. And so I go in for the role of Rob. And I read it. And then, after studio, I get a call from Mark. And they're like, yeah, it's bad news. It's not you. They're not going to cast you. I'm like, what? Why? And he's like, they said you weren't hot enough. So I wasn't hot enough to be Rob. I wasn't hot enough to be myself. So, then Paul goes,
you think about it, that's a compliment to you. Cause they think the real Rob's a smoke show. They just don't like the fake version of you playing you.
True. Right. Otherwise known as,
there's nobody out there saying Rich Pate's hot. You know what I mean? Somebody out there said Rob's hot. And they're thinking of you, but not the real you, but the fake you.
But not
you.
Me.
And
that's nice. Not actually me. Right. Because the real loser here is me. But anyway, so I didn't get it. And then Paul goes in a few days later, and great actor, great looking fella, and he lands the role of Paul. And then as a double knife in my back, the person who got Hot Rob is our friend Chris Garten. Who wound up being great, really good. I mean, they shot the pilot, and Paul and Chris were like just, the best.
Yeah, just
best
like Scissor Sisters. Like, I mean, like, what a hottie. You know what I mean? What a hot guy in addition to being.
Hold on, I'm looking up. What's his last name?
Garten. Chris Garten, Gartin, Garten. He wound up introducing Abby to her now husband. All this got expelled at her wedding where I told this whole story. And
this motherfucker's gorgeous. Wow. Holy smokes. And ripped. He's got a shirtless shot in here. Robbie, you're going to want to eat sushi off this fucking table.
Paul, are you doing Chris Garten's podcast later today?
That's what I have later today. Yeah.
In fact, if you have to scoot early, we'll understand.
If you know Chris, he's not that much better. He's actually a lot like me in a lot of ways. He's my height, you know. It was I feel like it was more the day of the week they decided, you know, it was a different day. They ended up firing the casting director and then
he's 5'9". He's got you by a couple inches.
He does have my couple inches.
According to quick facts on the internet.
Chris,
oh man.
And Chris ended up sending his
younger
kids,
than you by a stint too.
What's that, wow. Rich? What, Rich?
You got a couple of years on him. Well, it's a trade-off. He's a little younger than you. You're a little shorter than him. That's a wash.
Yeah.
That's who played Molly? Who played Molly Benedict?
Do you remember that? Paul,
good question. I don't remember who that one was. I just remember that she's one of the first people that I encountered who would swing in her relationship. I remember that. We'd sit around and talk. She
that's
was talking
right.
About how
that's right. She was a swinger. Rich and JC are into that. I'm not so much. That's not my thing, but.
Believe me, if we were into swinging, you'd be a swinger with a capital S, you sick fuck. Always eyeballing my wife.
Knock, knock, knock.
Don't lie to this podcast.
Hey, Rich, is JC home?
Hey.
Hey, JC.
I'm walking the dog all the time just in case I run into JC. I get it.
Yeah.
There's
that's
a lot
the same
of
reason why I walk the dog.
There are a lot of dads walking dogs around Rich's house. They're like vultures.
Around the compound? Let's see. I'm looking up Splitsville on IMDb to see if we can find out who played this.
Would it be there? I don't know. I don't know if they put pilots up on IMDb. Do they, Rich?
Sometimes they do.
Now I'm nervous we're going to throw this lady's name out. Maybe we'll keep her in.
Well, there's Splitsville, the animation.
It's not going to be on there, buddy, because I've done other pilots that I don't think they're on there.
Oh, that's too bad. It's not Welcome to Splitsville.
No.
I don't know. Look up
what year?
Look it up through Mark and Abby.
No.
It wasn't a TV movie in 2003.
TV movie. I mean, who are the stars?
I don't think that's it. That was the wrong thing. Splitsville. TV movie. Kate Behan and Lynn Collins. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, says Paul.
That's it?
Yeah, actually, Kate Behan got replaced by Lynn Collins. Boy, they got everyone up there, though. Even if you...
No.
Yeah, totally. You'll be that?
Oh, my God, this is it. Yeah. Because there's Kate Behan, Lynn Collins, Chris Carton, Christopher Polaha. Is that name ring a bell, Paul?
Yeah. He played Mark. So don't say this person's name, because then I got to go back in and cut it out. So
okay.
Maybe stop saying people's names now.
Well, if it's one of the actresses listed, they're both very attractive young ladies. Good for you, Paul, for playing their husband.
Playing myself.
Playing both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. That's Rob, I have never heard this story.
Really?
Hank, thank you for bringing this up.
God, I can't believe never you guys heard have this gotten story. Through without that story coming out. That's a classic, man.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's the most, one of the most Hollywood, probably the most Hollywood thing.
Rich, the thing is, man, he took it in stride so gracefully, as you can imagine. He never brought it up. It wasn't a big deal. It's an awful thing.
We wrote a pilot called The Real Rob, too.
Talk about a graceful loser or someone who does like a good sport.
Took it in stride.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know me. I don't get worked
up. Rob, can you imagine? Look, we're all laughing now. If that thing had been a hit, you'd have taken your own life. You would not have lived to see the birth of your daughter. Like, if that thing had become Friends and there was a guy playing you that was written about
on the side
you
of the bus,
for
on the
you,
side of the bus,
well, that's not the starring
Boulevard,
you.
Yeah.
That's the pilot. That's the pilot that Hank and I were working on. This is called The Real Rob, where, you know, my best friend is writing a show and the show's a big hit. And every episode of The Real Rob ends with a scene from the show.
Where it goes a better way.
A better way.
Yeah. That's genius, though. Where is that in development? That's awesome.
It's in my drawer here.
Yeah, I think
that's a funny idea.
It's a good idea, right? One of these days. But
the problem was Paul wasn't available to play Paul in it, so we had to build the whole thing.
Scrap it. Yeah.
You got to work around.
Because really, that's the only reason people were interested.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. That is.
They're like, we like it, but can we call it The Real Paul?
But Paul got cast. Well, that's okay.
My God, that is so funny.
Isn't it funny? And how strong my FOMO is. The fact that Paul and Chris Garten honestly became really good pals. Like it really challenged everything, every part of my being.
Friend of the podcast, Chris Garten.
And then God was kind to me, and I got another pilot that year, which helped me, really settle my.
We should also mention, though, that my wife worked on Splitsville as well. She was the costume designer. So
it was a
making my family money.
Everybody.
It was a family
I even went. I did go down to San Diego. They shot in San Diego and went and visited. I don't know if I ever told Rob that.
I did, too. I went down and visited.
You did, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That's big of you.
Oh, there was another funny Abby and Mark story. They wrote Never Been Kissed. And they were casting that, and they were like, I was like, can I just get in to meet them? Because they wrote her best friend is this character, Rob. And it was, modeled after me. And I finally got, and it wound up going to, I think, Arquette. What's his name? Arquette or somebody like that.
David Arquette.
David?
Yeah. Anyway, but before that.
Was it Arquette?
Alexis?
Yeah. And so I went in and met with the producer the producers, and they were like, so this is the real Rob. I'm like, yeah, this is me. And we chatted, and I was like, this is going well. It's a good chat. I feel like we're good. I feel like it's going to be me. And after they're like, well, thanks for coming in. It's good for us to sort of know who this guy is so that we can really, cast it well.
They did not say that.
Yep. Yep. And then I walked out like, oh. That wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So, yeah.
So at no point did they have you read or no?
No. And I thought, this is just a meeting. I'm that big of a deal. This is just sort of like, see if I can walk and talk, and did not go.
The best part of that story would have been them going like, thank you, this is great to meet you. Nice to know what you're really like. It was going to help Paul Fitzgerald shape the character because it's just, you know, the nuances
like
you bring.
We'd like Paul and you to spend some time together so he can really get
Can I get your number to give to the actor playing you?
Oh, my God.
Mind
yes.
spending time.
Oh, yeah. Fitzgerald.
But in that moment of time where I didn't get Splitsville, I wound up doing Come to Papa, which is really where my world with Richard, one of the early times we collided, was because Richard was good friends with the writer-producer of Come to Papa.
Well, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And Richard actually was on Come to Papa in the third or fourth episode. Played.
I was at the pilot taping.
Yeah, and he was at the pilot taping.
I was too, bitch.
Because, hey, yeah, Paul, yeah. aren't you friends with Meg Brogan, yes. too? Don't you guys all
yeah,
know
yeah.
Meg? So Meg is married to one of my good buddies from USC, and they were there. Like me, Meg, Cortland, and myself went to that tape.
And so was Paul. Paul and Scott Speedman.
That's crazy, Rich. I forgot the Meg Brogan.
At that same taping, yeah. Rich, they would have been a few rows
yeah,
from you.
Totally. Sliding doors.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, and the biggest thing that came out of Come to Papa, besides, you know, kind of initially meeting Rich, was also... Steve Carell let NBC know how funny he was, and they said, hey, let's cancel this show and put this guy in this new show called The Office.
I always heard that that's why they put him in there, is they honestly became like a test case because you're playing a very similar kind of character.
It was the same character. He was playing the same guy. Yeah, it is. That's the truth.
Oh, the same name even?
No. But it was like the same. Yeah. No, because it's an adaptation of the,
right,
show. But no, but it's just like he was really playing that same, that really obnoxious, hilarious, you know, boss. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. When Calvin was born, when I was shooting that show, and it was like, you know, the third episode or whatever, and Carell said, well, you know, for me, when I had my kids, that's when everything changed. And I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be huge. I picture myself like winning the Emmy the next year or whatever. And then we were canceled the next day. But I'm happy.
Really?
I'm happy for Steve. Yeah.
And it did. Everything changed.
Everything changed.
Everything changed, man. I mean, Steve's never looked back.
When I had my kid, everything changed for Steve Carell.
Fuck, Steve's life. I mean, smooth sailing. He must look back at that like,
he's
you know,
he's probably
like, I'm glad I dodged the pop-up bullets, he says to himself.
Oh, yeah, for
on
sure.
On podcast.
He doesn't even remember it happened, I'm sure.
Here's another little Hollywood trivia for you. Do you know that I did an episode of CSI Miami where the big guest star of the week was Paul Fitzgerald? I was a supporting player in an episode.
How have you never brought this up to me? Come on.
Yeah, why?
Because it just occurred to me. I have thought about it when I wasn't seeing you, like in between. But now I'm like, we're talking about all these overlaps, and I'm like, I'm going to Google this to be sure I'm right. We both did the same episode of CS Miami. We never met.
Different.
And the weird thing is, I remember because I auditioned for your role, didn't get it, but they gave me a different part. And then I remember going like, I wonder what guy got that thing. And I saw him like, he's Southern. It's funny. And then years later when Rob introduced me, I'm like, I think that's the dude.
Oh my God.
That I saw on the set of CSI Miami. And
crazy.
Now I'm just confirming it. Yeah.
Crazy. They, I was in this sort of endless string of sort of, violent, acts done to me and me to others. I think I was like wrapped in duct tape and shoved in a locker as a high school kid, and then came back at a high school or college reunion and beat the shit out of the person with a champagne bottle or something, as I recall. It was
good. Oh, you were typecast
like,
again.
Like
typecast. Yeah. Kid who gets duct taped and shoved in a locker. Yeah, that's it. Can we say fuck? I'm sorry.
So you and I, we've in a way almost worked together.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And did you fly to Miami to do that show?
No, they shot
it here down in Manhattan Beach.
Shot here? Oh, yeah. Wow.
That gal was nice. Wow. What happened to her? She was so the woman who was the lead on that. She's a Southerner. She's the woman who used to be on the West Wing and then the long.
Poppy Montgomery?
No, the woman on CSI Miami, right? Wasn't she the
who was that? I don't
second
remember.
Lead after
Emily Proctor.
Yeah, Emily Proctor. She was lovely.
I don't know, but I'm on IMDb. I'll just tap her name and see what happens.
This is insane information
is
that we're
wow,
just
man.
Finding
the,
this out, Richard.
Yeah.
Really, the glue of this entire podcast is Richard Spade, who was on Come to Papa. He was on CSI Miami. He's Hank's neighbor.
No connection.
I'm everywhere.
With the guy.
I'm just everywhere, man.
No professional connection with the guy.
No, but you're
Hank. I feel like there is somewhere in there, Hank.
You guys,
you say no, but there's a yes.
Your kids, long before I moved to Silver Lake, your kids went to the same school. Your neighbors, you had your whole thing, your whole neighborly thing going.
Wait,
right?
Our kids went to the same school, Frank, Ivanhoe?
No. Didn't Steve go to Ivanhoe for a second and then you pulled him out?
Yeah.
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 That's when we were there. You saw me there.
Gotcha.
You got scared. You said, this is like...
I ran.
This is like an inner city thing.
I thought you were very mean streets. When I saw you, I'm like, duh, that guy's
kid's gonna get jacked in the hallway. Look at this dude.
Yeah, Hank's very Pacino.
You had a little Post Malone vibe that I was not comfortable with.
Yeah,
well, it's
I cover
the
up the tats for the podcast, but yeah, I have a bunch of tears.
Yeah, you don't want to be able to hear those tattoos. You definitely don't. Want... It'll turn them off.
But yeah,
man. So, well, small world, Paul. Nice to see you again.
Crazy. That's,
after being on set with you.
So good. God, I can't believe Miami.
The
so
CIA,
isn't that crazy?
CSI Miami reunion.
I can't say I've ever seen that episode, but I want to go look for it now.
I don't remember seeing the episode either. I remember seeing you on like going into like you guys are shooting and I was killing time and leaning in and going like, oh, that's the guy playing the guy.
Jesus.
You know, I just did the Law and Order and we talked about it on the podcast and Rich was like, oh man, I love that show. I'd love to have been on that show. And, you know, when I went to New York to see Paul and he was like, oh yeah, you know, first time I was on that show. I was like, wait, first time? He's like, oh yeah, I've been on that show three times. But, I was like, what? He's been on Law and Order three times.
I've been on Law and Order five times. I've been on SVU three times, but just to tell you how fucking old I am, you have to wait 6 years in between each guest spot. So I've literally been on it over the course of 20 years. Like my first one when I was like first out of school, and then 6 years later came back as like a, you know, child molester, whatever the fuck, and then the third year I came back.
Wait. Let's do the math there. You've been on that show five times.
No, I've been on SVU three times. SVU, and then I was on the Mothership once, and then Criminal Intent. So I've done.
Oh, okay, total. Five
so
times.
18-year span in SVU. No. Yeah, I got it.
No. First time I played.
I always liked the fact that they would do that though, like that they would hire.
There's only so many actors in New York.
I used to watch the show. But also, audiences don't care. Like you're just watching a story. They don't think it's a documentary. It doesn't matter. I remember the I'm going to mispronounce her name, Paul, but you remember the lady who ended up playing the DA or something? Her name was like S. Epertha.
Yeah.
Betha Merkison. She does Chicago
she
Med.
She played like a guest star.
Yeah.
Like a house cleaner in an office building.
Right.
And the next time I saw her, she was a series regular playing the people didn't care. Yeah. It wasn't like, wait a minute.
No, exactly. Yeah. If ever someone didn't care, it's the Law and Order audience. I mean, God, my sweet sister, she puts that thing on when she's going to sleep. Just like it's like people just need it there. They need it there as a comfort.
That's a great advertisement for the show.
I tell you, you know
you're
what?
Doing
you know
the
who
dishes
doesn't care?
Or the laundry, or you're going.
They don't care. They literally are like, we know we're not going to the Emmys. We're not going to any of these things. We'll just be on the air for 35 years.
While you guys on audition, we're shooting episode 375.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No
so
joke.
Like, they're literally like, hey, congratulations on winning your Golden Globe for Beef. Do you want to babysit my kids next week? Because you'll be out of work and I will be on the show for 30 years.
Yeah. You only did 8 episodes. Yeah. I'm on my 400th.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the retirement of.
Yeah, that was historic.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Sam Waterston.
Sam Waterston. And he, it was his 403rd episode. Ooh.
Really? Yeah.
Dude.
That Sam did. Wow. Sam had done. Yeah.
And didn't he do it across two shows or something as well? Something like that.
I don't even know. I was on Law and Order.
Have you guys
LA,
ever watched a whole episode of Law and Order that you weren't in?
Richard has.
I've watched Law and Order a bunch. I used to love SVU.
Never watched it.
It's good, folks.
I'd never have been in Law and Order, so I've never done the show.
It's such a New York. I love it because it's such a New York LA thing. I mean, I think probably at some point they're like, I mean, it's great that bringing in LA actors, but for a while, I think it was just a New York staple. So to Rich's point, they kept recycling the same people. Like you couldn't be in New York without knowing someone on one episode, you know, because it's a much smaller pool of folks out there than it is here, you know. But it's a real fraternity of like.
I've only been on it three times.
You're showing your age, Hank.
Well, they don't do the 6-year rule with me.
Yeah, I was on Law and Order LA, and I don't think that show worked as much because it didn't have that. There's a special vibe that New York has for that.
Did that just, is that still on?
I was like, wait, it was only on for a year, maybe a year and a half. I was Skeet Ulrich, Richard's friend Skeet, and then Corey Stoll.
Wow.
They were regulars on it?
Yeah.
Corey Stoll. Who's Corey Stoll? That name rings a bell. Oh, the guy from the, ended up doing the president, the...
Yes.
He played Rob in a show called...
Yeah. Who didn't?
What is the, what is that show I'm talking about? He played the Kevin Spacey...
Yeah, House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah.
I did a movie called Helena from the Wedding with Corey back before it was Corey. Yeah. Yeah. Good cast of folks.
Yeah, that's right. A great cast. Wait, before he was Corey?
I mean, he was Corey Stoll, but it was before he'd sort of anything big,
I thought, like, his name used to be Leonard Stoll.
Leonard Stoll. Great guy.
But
going with Corey now. Corey's my profession.
I'm going to go Corey. I'm Corey now.
I think that doing the... I think SVU is such a, or Law and Order in general, is such a New York or big city sort of vibe. That I think, I mean, the LA, it didn't surprise me the LA one didn't stick.
No.
It didn't feel like, because everything in New York, all the New York ones are like, they're like, every scene is like, let's go talk to the meatpacking guy. They cut to, they're walking like, I don't know, I just carry meat. And, you know, and everything is like, so how do you do that in LA? Drive alongside him? Like, you know, like it's just wrong. Yeah. It's not a pedestrian town. You know,
just Chips worked. That's why Chips was so successful out here in LA.
Chips had a very similar model.
Thank you, Hank, because we don't, the show's not the show if we don't mention Chips at least once. The Kings of Con podcast brought to you by
Eric Estrada. Chips. You should come back and have do something besides
Robert
the Hollywood
Pine.
Christmas parade.
Who was Larry? Who was the guy? Larry Wilcox. Robert Pine, and of course, Randy Oates as the sexy female officer.
Wait, so who was the blonde-haired Chip?
Oh.
Larry Wilcox.
Larry Wilcox. Wow, yeah. Man. Wow. Chips.
Eric Estrada, Larry Wilcox, Robert Pine as Sergeant Couture.
Are you looking that up or you know it?
I know. I am not. I was a fan.
So you like Chips and Law & Order. See, there is some crossover there.
That was my life, going to Chips, man. I worked my schedule around Chips.
I loved it. Loved it. And it was so, like, to me, it was like California.
Ah, yeah. I was like, I'm going to get there someday.
The mean streets.
Yeah.
Is it just like you thought it would be, Paul?
What's that?
Is California just like you thought it would be from Chips?
It's better. It's better than I thought it would be.
And that's why you moved back to New York.
That's why I live in New York, yeah.
Ponch and John. It was a great show.
Ponch and John. Mm.
I watched, just to date me a little bit, back in 1980, I was a member of the fan club. And it was called Real People. Do you remember the show Real People?
Totally.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, of course.
Real People.
Wasn't it Kathy Sarah Purcell.
Kathleen Crosby, maybe?
Skip Stevenson.
Sarah Purcell.
Byron Allen.
Skip Stevenson.
Byron Allen.
Skip Stevenson. That's right. I had buttons. I had a t-shirt.
Don't you remember Sarah Purcell and Skip Stevenson had a whole will they, won't they energy, like a moonlighting thing?
Very, very great.
And you go back and look at it and you're like, on Skip Stevenson's best day, he didn't have a shot at Sarah Purcell. She was a 10. She was batting cleanup. And Skip Stevenson looked like the valet Parker's friend's dentist lawnmower guy.
Yeah.
Like, it was
got hit in the face.
Wait, now let's tell the viewers, because there was also That's Incredible. Which
That's Incredible. They were kind of sister shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were John Davidson.
Like, they were like the last. Every story in it was like the last story on the CBS evening newscast. They were the fluff pieces of like the guy who's 8'9" and he stands at the corner and waves to everybody driving by all day long. And like, that's a story. Mm-hmm. And I love
it. Right. So it was almost like a long form, what is now TikTok. Just real people doing, you know, I feel like it was, you know, then there was America's Funniest Home Videos and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was early reality show, really. Mm-hmm. It was an early reality show, but it also was a slice of life. People being
total slice of life. Yeah. Almost no drama to that stories.
Right. But it was funny, right?
Was it? Oh yeah. It was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred Willard. was a host of that for a while.
What? Great Fred Willard.
Yeah.
The great Fred Willard.
The great Fred
Willard. R.I.P. Fred Willard.
Holy cow.
R.I.P. Fred Willard, but how in God's name, who was Skip Stevenson? Like, let's just unravel this ball of wax. God, Skip, what was your whole
deal? He's not doing as well as Byron Allen, who is trying to buy Paramount for $15 billion. That guy did quite well.
How did he make money?
I don't know. He bought a lot of things. He owns a bunch of networks and maybe radio stations and TV shows.
He's always had money, and he's always, in my mind, been sort of a C-level celebrity. But he's always like... Yeah, he used to come in regularly to Houston's when I waited tables at Houston's in Century City. He's no longer there. He was a big tipper. So whenever he came in, we were all like clamoring. I got 41. I got 41. I got Byron.
Didn't Byron also get the role of Rob in one of those shows too?
He did. Yep.
Byron. Sometimes I think he's more Rob than Rob.
C-list.
I've seen his.
Like,
he did a good Rob.
That's true. Yeah.
Maybe he had a tequila back in the 80s or something, that a brand that he sold.
Yeah, something.
It comes back to cocktails for this guy.
Something.
The mini bio is not really, it's not really telling me much.
About Skip Stevenson.
Oh, here you go.
Byron Allen.
Here you go. It says his company, Entertainment Studios, later Allen Media Group, bought the Weather Channel for $300 million.
Boy. Wow.
He was the youngest comedian to ever appear on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Wow. Took his money from real people and invested it in the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
Smart. Weather. That's where the money is, guys. Everyone always says weather.
It's always going to be there.
I'll tell you what. You talk about it every day. You do.
We do.
You do. You can slide a little advertisement in between your, you know, highs and lows for the day. You got a moneymaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, now we know what we're investing in.
I'm dying to know Byron Allen's origin story now. Because I just know him as a comic. Like, the Rob's description of him is exactly how I picture him.
Yeah.
And you'd think with all that money and power, he never ended up with Sarah Purcell. You got to wonder.
We don't know that, though.
You got to wonder.
We don't know that.
What happened to Sarah Purcell?
I'm going to find out. I'll tell you what didn't happen. She didn't marry me.
That would have been weird. She's like 80 now, maybe.
Yeah.
You would have been like nine.
Martha Ray. Okay. She's from Richmond, Indiana. An actress known for Wonder Woman and Beyond Belief and Charlie's Angels. Oh, she's married.
Doesn't even mention real people.
Dr. Sandy McClintock since 1983.
Wow.
Oh.
Long haul.
Yeah.
She hopes it's AM Los Angeles with Regis Philbin.
All right, that was her breakthrough. She and Reach.
No, her break into television was being was in 1973, substituting as a weather girl in San Diego.
Yeah,
weather guys, it's all.
I tell you, that's
weather.
Right. Byron Allen's like, I see it. I know how many billions.
He was way into Sarah Purcell.
Man, I gotta tell you, I mean, a lot of shakeups today.
Yeah,
upsetting news.
What's upsetting? Oh, that she's Sarah Purcell's married to Sandy?
She's spoken for. And that.
Wasn't there another
Paul
female?
And I worked together and didn't hang out. There's that. Uh-huh. You know?
Sarah.
Who was the other? Was there another woman on? Who was the. No, I think Kathleen Crosby was on. She was on That's Incredible.
Okay. Oh, That's Incredible, yeah.
With Fran Tarkenton.
Hmm.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's right. Fran Tarkenton.
Former Vikings QB Fran
also
Tarkenton.
Also, New York Giant. You
really?
Have a signed football with Fran Tarkenton's name on it from the Giants.
Really?
I think before the Vikings, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, little fact.
Just like I've got Lou Alcindor on this basketball behind me.
And Amy.
And Amy right underneath it.
You've got it all, dude.
I know. I really do. I think if this podcast says anything, it says I've got it. I've always had it all.
You're the Christopher Garten of this podcast, and I mean that.
What's funny is you see Chris Garten as a big commercial actor now. You see him pop up, and right, fellas?
Oh, the dude can't not get hired. You feel like every time Chris leaves his house, boom, job. Like, he's got the touch, you know? He's got
it. I don't know if you heard me, but his kids went to school with my kids, to elementary school. So his kids were exactly my two kids, my older kids' age.
And his kids and Rob's kids kept going home with Chris's thinking that he was. We like his house better. We like his family.
They called him Dad. Can we get home? Can we get a ride home from Handsome Dad? Like, no, that's not your. That's not your dad. It's
They call him. They call him Better Dad.
Dad.
I'm their daddy now. Y'all run along.
Run along home now, Robbie.
Come on now, Bobby.
That's a classic.
So, Rob, have you talked about on the podcast here? Have you talked about your new office? You haven't moved in yet.
Yeah. Rich named it for me last week. He's calling it FOHQ, Fuck Off Headquarters.
Okay.
Because that's where he's going to go when he gets tired of the, you know, all the dadding and fathering and husband and got to scoot out there to FOHQ. Daddy has a fridge for a daddy juice.
He's going to go out there and have a good cry and nobody will hear it in the house.
Yeah,
exactly. Because they always say if you cry in the forest, can anybody hear you?
People laugh. That's what they say.
They're building. It used to be Fartoon Studios, but now it's FOHQ out back. And I'm very excited. I'm picking out furniture. I still haven't decided on what kind of fridge I want. They've got. Richard said he'd like me to have the Marshall. Amplifier fridge. I don't know if you've seen.
I like that really one. Fun. Zelda Guitar Center. It's nice.
But like, it's a little overdone. Like, Rich, don't you have one?
Yeah,
you've got one. It's in that studio that we record in the Valley. Like, it's. I feel like I need something a little more.
Does it look like an amp or something, or is it just?
Yeah, it looks like an amp, but it's a fridge. Maybe it's that. Maybe that's what I get. But if not, there's also like, you know, there's those beverage fridges, which are really cute. They've got a blue light on the inside and like your bottles kind of go in kind of thing. Or they've got retro fridges. You know?
Don't want it to have a glass front because you don't need people stopping by like the clergy seeing all the alcohol you got in that son of a gun. You know what I mean?
Right. You want it.
You have a lot of clergy stopping by.
Sparkling water.
Smart. You're right. I shouldn't. They shouldn't be able to see through it. Okay. That's a good. Okay. So that's out. So now it's between.
Because literally, that's just going to be you're going to like, wow, Robbie, no bublés in there for me. I see. You know, it's going to be all.
Yeah. Right. Booze and booze. Right. Yeah. So I guess just maybe either the old Frigidaire retro looking.
They make those in small models.
Like a Smeg. Am I go high end, get a Smeg?
Smeg's on the list.
What the hell's a Smeg?
Those are like the hipster cool retro. Three times the price.
Yeah, it's super expensive, the Smeg.
Red.
Damn. I'm out of the loop.
So
three times the price, it sounds like the go. I would go.
Right? Yeah.
I think that's my one.
Three times the price.
I'm in.
Chris Garten has a Smeg, just saying.
Dude, Chris Garten has whatever Chris Garten wants. He's actually sponsored by Smeg, never paid a nickel for one of them. Has them stacked in the garage in boxes, can't give them away.
Except if I go by, he'll be like, fresh out.
Just gave my last one away.
I'm very excited about the office and, what is, and you all know the code to my house and come on in and.
I gotta get the code. I don't think I have the code. I gotta.
Well, don't say it on the podcast.
Oh, please.
Well, I don't know.
Just say the address and then we'll say the code later.
And then point out which room is Rob's.
Richard's done that several times. He says my address on the podcast and I've got to go back in because we released the videos too. I got to go back, open the video in iMovie.
What are you doing over there, Rob. Rich? You're like bent over. You're like looking down. What do you got? You whittling?
You're whittling. Playing with a pocket knife. I'm in Frank's room, so I'm looking at Frank's stuff in here. Nice. Got his pocket knife.
Well, he has the knives. Does he have a gun in there too? What do you got? Bow and arrow?
He might. He's the youngest of three boys. You know, the survival of the fittest.
It would be pretty funny, like you duck down below camera, and then you come up and you're like polishing a shotgun or something, semi-automatic. Frank's. It's Frank's. Come up with bow and arrow.
I don't think our garden conversation's over. I feel like, Rob, if you hadn't recovered from the stroke and they made a TV movie about you, casting was easy.
Easy, yeah.
I mean, obviously, Paul, your relationship with Rob is set in stone. You're Paul. And Hank, I feel like you could do Hank.
Corey Stahl might play me. But
ooh, that'd be good, actually.
That's nice. That'd be good.
Yeah. I got more hair than he does.
Hopefully I could visit Seth.
Buddy, I would love to, but COVID is coming in, and there's, I mean,
yeah, it's not ADA compliant, actually.
We would love to have you. Yeah, we'd love to have you. It's not that we wouldn't love to have you.
We didn't build the machine wheelchair ramp.
We're going to keep the, but we'll, ask me if you'll be at the premiere. Ask me. I'll answer now. Yes. So don't worry about that. You'll be at that premiere.
Well, what about you, Richard? You were there. Are you going to be in it?
I am. Yeah, I am.
Or who plays you? You're in it? Okay. And Paul's Paul?
Paul's Paul.
And Molly, Hank's actually, Hank. not an actress, but Molly's playing herself.
Molly's playing herself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Garten.
We've given him ammo now for like that. Chris Garten is because he's the new Breckin Meyer.
I feel like
can't not get cast.
He's gonna be. I have a feeling he's gonna. I mean, he's got to be in one of these squares one of these days. You got to.
Yeah, we could get Chris on. Yeah,
I don't know. Sure. He's not available. He's busy.
He's a workaholic. You know, he needs a break. We need to calm him down. One of these times when Rob can't make it, I'll get Chris. It'll just be me and Chris.
Yes, you gotta do that. And just call him Rob the whole time. Just have him. Don't.
Yeah, man.
That's Chris.
With friends,
he can
like
show us his vision board of when he played Rob, like how he, you know, how he sculpted the character, and like Rob's old headshots. He was like your stalker.
I'm not gonna break, guys. I'm not gonna break. I'm not gonna break. I'm good. I can handle all this. I've done the work. Man.
That's a crazy story. I'm glad that finally got out there. Rob, you've kept that one under your belt for a while.
I'm surprised I haven't told you because it's certainly very clear in my head.
It's a tough one.
That is a brutal. That's like a joke. People be like, I used to always say I couldn't get cast in the Richard Spade story if I'm having like a bad run. And I'm like, wow, it's
actually
that's
it really happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Live to tell about it. Yeah. I feel sometimes like those early 2000s, it was like serving, you know, we were fighting a battle.
Have you told the one about the watch party for your Beverly Hills 90210?
I don't know if I ever told that, Rich.
You've told it at a convention, but not here on the podcast, and it's a classic. Let's do that.
I mean, this is the very first job I had in Hollywood. It was a great way to find out what Hollywood's like, but I got a part, two lines, on Beverly Hills 90210, the original, like 1996 or 7. And first job I ever had. And Paul was in grad school down in San Diego. And I had a watch party at my house for I was kind of the first of sort of our group that was going to be on TV, minus our friend Kim Williams, who was sort of the one graduate with us who had gone on to do big movies and stuff. But she came over too. She came. And Paul was there. But as they were all on their way over to my house for the watch party.
I drove up from San Diego.
I know.
Did you tell them about your role too? But
everybody on this call but me was there, right?
Like I was not there.
Paul was there.
No, Hank and I weren't as, actually Hank was still in Chicago probably at that point.
I moved out. Okay. Yeah, 96.
Yeah, I think he might have still been in Chicago. But anyway, so yeah, people on their way over to my house. I played a character that's in a classroom that has a line about that we're watching the clock.
An important central character, but like just as it turned out,
not really. as it turned out, actually not essential at all. But yeah, Jason Priestley directed the episode. I'm watching a clock, 10 minutes roll by, and then I go, "Well, that's it. The 10-minute rule prevails. Come on, guys, let's bolt."
That's your line? You remember your line?
You know the whole line.
Yeah. Come on, guys, let's bolt. And then we all left the classroom, right? Well, my mom on Central Time calls as everyone's on their way to my house and was like, "Robbie, I didn't see you in it. I didn't see you in it. I don't think you're in it." And by the time Paul got there, I think I cried. I mean, I was really, really.
They opened the door. I mean, you guys were living in Westwood, and I knocked. I was just so excited, ready to just, you know, to get my party on.
Yeah.
Let's watch this thing. He opened the door, the longest look you've ever seen on a man's face, and just shaking his head, sort of tears still like sort of, you know, dried down his cheeks, and said, "It's not happening." And I was like, and you know, we're so new to this. I'm like, "What do you mean it's not happening?" He's like, I got cut out of it. I was like, that's not possible. Get out of the way. Let's go. Let's watch this thing. Maybe the West Coast speed is different. I was holding hope alive. I was like, maybe we had to cut time to Central Zone.
Yeah, Paul came in with the party energy, you know. He was like, where's my superstar, you know?
Right.
And so we watched it. Sure enough, you see my shoulder as I sort of cross frame. You see my shoulder. I'm still credited, and I still get residual checks, but you don't see my line or anything.
Do you hear your line? Like, do you say it off camera?
No, man. No, the whole thing's gone. It's all gone. Now, Molly's brother Mark is a sound mixer, and he worked on that show and was able to get the dailies. And so Mark Silverstein, who wrote Splitsville, that the part I auditioned for myself, was a film student, and I was in all of Mark's films. When he was young. So anyway, Mark and I went to an editing bay.
Not all of them. Sorry.
We went to the editing bay. We went to the editing bay. You Southerners, both of you are laughing. Only Hank has the northern.
I was looking at a text. I actually missed it. Oh,
anyway, so we went to an editing bay, and he cut the scene together so I could put it on my reel. So I've got the scene. That's how I know the line, because I've got the scene on my first reel I ever had.
Oh, man.
But what I heard is that it wasn't even your shoulder in the show.
No, it was.
It was Chris Garten's shoulder.
It was Chris Garten. Oh, I saw that guy. There you go.
Gotcha.
I was just thinking, like, if they had to redo that scene of Rob opening the door to Paul and just so distraught, how would we get Chris in that space? You know, how do you, when you do that scene, how do you get him in that? Paul, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get him in that headspace? You're going to be there.
Could have been mad about that scene if it had been Chris Garten.
Yeah. You're going to be giving it to him. But how's he? We'll sidebar. That's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, not as crazy as me having three of my besties on the same podcast to relive all the jokes.
Hey, I didn't bring up Splitsville. I want that on the record.
I'm happy to tell it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to tell it. It's a funny story.
Overtime to get it out there. Overtime to get the Rob Splitsville story out there.
You know, there's that that famous story about Adrian Brody. Obviously, he's going on a big career, but like apparently in Thin Red Line,
yeah,
he just had monologue after monologue and was talking was the whole time, and they cut out almost all of his dialogue. Like, it's just shot to him looking and thinking, and did not tell him. And so at the premiere, he's watching himself do. Still in the movie, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a dramatically different role, apparently.
Yeah. No, I just saw Killers of the Flower Moon, and I see a guy walk through it, and I'm like, that looks like my friend Josh. And I saw Josh, I ran into the other day, and he's like, oh yeah, no, I had a huge role. I played Leo's younger brother. I'm like, Leo had a younger brother in that movie? He's like, yeah, I was in like four scenes, and with, all these scenes with De Niro and everybody, and they cut the whole thing. I'm just watching.
Josh Stamberg, like our neighbor?
No, Josh Close. But he's like, he just walks through one scene now. You know, it's a 3.5-hour movie. They didn't cut anything, but they cut his role.
The one thing on that movie is that people are saying it could have been shorter. Like, they didn't cut anything. Well, yeah, they did.
They did, actually. They cut his role.
Man. Wow. I saw there's another actor that's like standing in the background in one of the scenes. It's one of the brothers that I recognized. It's not Josh, but it's a different person. He must have had a bigger role. It's,
right.
We've talked about this. What's the actor from the Mighty Ducks?
I had that with Independence Day. I had a scene in Independence Day that didn't make the day, and I didn't know it till the premiere.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was your scene?
Showed
with?
Up there, and I'm like. It literally
an alien.
Nobody. My scene was they shot us in a separate little three-wall set they built, like we had pirated a TV station. We're delivering information. It literally would have been like on the TV in the back of a bar. It was so small, it wasn't. It didn't jar me to the core too much. No. But I was kind of bummed,
Yeah, it's never fun to get cut out.
TV in the background.
No.
That's a particular role.
Yeah, you're like you're way like the news scroll. Like, I'm back there. But yeah, it's like whatever, you know that. Anything for money. That's crazy about the Killers of the Flower Moon. Also because, like you say, that movie was eternal.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of that movie. Going on the record of saying not a fan.
Thumbs down.
I liked it. I just think it could have ended an hour and a half earlier.
It could have ended an hour and a half early. And one of the things I thought was just the most egregious, you have that great actress who's winning all these accolades and deserves them. She's great. And you got at the end of the movie, have you guys seen the movie? Everybody in our little four square here?
Everyone listening
sitting
to the
that
show?
Shot of, spoiler alert if you're listening to the show. But there's that shot of Leo kind of being grilled in the courtroom and confessing all these things, including all the, poisoning of his wife and all this stuff. No cutaway to the wife. No reaction shot. Like, to find out that your husband's been doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Just stay on him.
Yeah.
Hold on, Leo. I'm like,
you're critiquing Scorsese's choices.
100%. That movie was 1,000 times too long. It shouldn't have been the story of a white guy, damaging the Osage. Like, it was their story, and it got hijacked. Did anybody believe that she would have been attracted? Like, she would fall for Leo as he drove her around? He barely had a tooth in his head and was, like, not nice. And, she's like, there's something about him. Like, I don't get it. Like,
I'm with you. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
I'm just going to go.
All right. You heard it here, folks.
Heard it here, folks. Yeah. So tell Josh he dodged a bullet.
Let's just call it, say that.
Splitsville.
Well, guys, thanks for taking the time to come on. It's what a classic.
This is one of the ones they're going to put in the vault. What are we going to talk about? And now it's like, what didn't we talk about,
Really? Is that what you were thinking before you got on? Oh, geez, what are we going to talk about these guys?
No, I was not worried about this generating a lot of laughs.
And then, Hank,
we're doing a little sidebar, Paul, Rob, cocktail thing tonight. Paul, you're going to want one wind down one. I know.
Let me know where you're at, and we'll see.
Paul means two.
Exactly. The president won't show up if I pick the restaurant. Just saying.
Well, as long as there's cocktails available, Hank,
Mr. President?
I can't guarantee that.
Richard usually knows pretty good watering holes.
Yeah, we'll sidebar. We'll sidebar. We'll side text chain going.
And then also...
Let's not tell Rob where we're going.
That's fine.
I got Garten on the horn. He'll be there.
You know what? I'll call Chris. He'll tell me. You guys, RIP, our favorite watering hole in Silver Lake, the Hyperion Public, which Richard and I, we wrote half of Kings of Con, the series at that.
I mean, we used to go there all the time.
All the time. And COVID did it no favors.
Yeah.
Changed ownership and then gone.
Yeah. I think maybe all four of us, let's buy it. Let's buy it and make it what we want it to be.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. This is a good time to be investing, extra capital in sort of a side venture because.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I got to say is if we have a liquor license, Paul will be there.
Yeah. Well, Paul's going to buy it with all of his Netflix money coming
in. Absolutely. The president, I'll tell you what, it pays. It pays.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did hear that the whole building is for sale for $2.4 million. And I bet someone will raise it and put something else out. Because as much as I love Hyperion Public, it's not a great restaurant space. I can say that now that it's closed.
They need a funeral parlor in there. Funeral parlors and liquor stores, man. That's the business you want to be in for sure. You know what I mean? Like that's all. That's
because everybody dies.
Everybody drinks. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
Well, next door to each other. Very convenient.
Or the Byron Allen method, weather.
Yes.
I liked that bar when you went. I never liked the front area, but I always at the back, sort of the dive bar part where you had that birthday party where you blacked out, Rob. But that's a fun area. Like that was a cool space.
Which one?
The one where you got mad at me for not coming. I'm like, not only was I there, JC was there. She brought you flour. We talked and you're like, oh. Oops.
I got a great picture of that birthday. My head is on the bar. I just had I'm having a snooze right there on the bar.
Just a little, just a little quick shout out.
Yeah.
Rest your
it's like nine.
But I like that part. I mean, I thought the upstairs bar area was cool. Sorry that it didn't survive, man.
Yeah. Yeah. R.I.P.
Hyperion Pub. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Of course, to our very special guest, Paul Fitzgerald and Hank Chilton. Thank you.
Wait, is he a very special guest and then I'm just Hank Chilton?
Yes, you're a very, 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 very special guest, Paul Fitzgerald, and just square filler Hank Chilton. Because we didn't want to do it with just three. That felt weird.
Fair enough.
And I'm Chris Garten. Thank you
Chris
for
Garten
joining
tuning
us.
In. Y'all, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us on. Really, really fun.
This is gold.
Anywhere. Next time,
I'll can't wait to laugh about this later tonight while Paul doesn't have a cocktail with us.
Back in the time for me.
Yeah, next time we'll do it at night. We'll do it at cocktails.
We're gonna do it in the she shed, Rob's she shed.
Yeah, we'll do it in my she shed.
FOHQ.
Yeah, FOHQ. My she shed. You're right, Hank. That's what I should be calling it.
Anytime anybody says she shed, I always feel like they have a speech impediment. It doesn't sound like I get the point, but I feel like it doesn't really work.
That's like every time we say Lilith on the Lilith. There's a character named Lilith in Supernatural, and on our Supernatural rewatch podcast, every time Rich and I say the word Lilith, we feel like
excuse
we have
me?
To
what's that?
It's just like when Lilith went to the she shed. Anyway, all right, everybody, goodbye and good luck.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Hank. Thanks, Paul.
Bye, guys.
Love you both.
Love you guys. Thank
bye,
you.
Richard. Bye, everyone.